Matthew 1. I was praying about just kind of what to talk about this morning. I'm going to kind of veer away a little bit from our lesson plan in 2 Corinthians. Study the Bible. Every word in your Bible is right, and it has meaning to it, okay? Let God speak to you. And I was looking at this and just going, you know what, man, there's a lot of meat here. The Bible goes out, I won't say goes out of its way, but it just really focuses on certain things here when it tells the story of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, and boy, there's just some good things there. But this morning, I want to just kind of talk about the work of the Holy Ghost, all right? That we know that Jesus came by way of the Holy Ghost. We know and believe from Scripture that Mary was a virgin. She had not been with a man. She had not consummated her engagement to Joseph. They were legally married according to the law of Moses, but they had not been together, and so it wasn't official. And anybody, and there's a ton of people out there that's now debating about whether Mary was a virgin or not, including, and this guy just, he rings my bell every time I hear from him, Andy Stanley, who's the son of Charles Stanley of First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia, made his name. He's still out there preaching and doing things like that. And I had thought that Charles Stanley had distanced himself from Andy, but they're going on a cruise together, and they're both speaking together on this cruise and teaching people. But Andy Stanley now is distancing himself from the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And he's just more or less saying that part of it is not important, that you don't have to believe that. And there's other things you can believe more in the Bible or so on. And this man just wrecks. He hates the Bible. You can just hear it in his the way he talks and the things that he talks about. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, which means it was done in this way. That's what that word means. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together. See, it's very clear. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's where he came from. And by the way, the Holy Ghost did not show up as some guy, okay, chains about his neck and looking all cool and a bottle of wine. That's not how it happened. Amen. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Well, he was going to divorce her. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to take this morning just sort of down the issue of how the Holy Ghost works in us. How, if you've ever had a thought where you were just kind of thinking about things in the Bible, and all of a sudden a thought came into your mind, and you went and searched it in the Scripture, and you found out it was right, that was the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost conceived that thought in you. The Holy Ghost is what drove you to the cross. Amen. You woke up with the Holy Ghost dealt with you, and you woke up with a realization that you were lost. You were a sinner. You were, and you didn't have to question 40 people about whether or not hell was real. Amen. You believed it. You knew it. That was the Holy Ghost. That's what he did in you. So the child Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And remember, he is the Word made flesh. He is what the Holy Ghost did in Mary. Jesus was the reality of that. The tangible evidence. Now, I believe certain things by faith. I accept them as faith, by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But over and over and over again, God makes the things that I believe, he makes them tangible. He makes them real. We see that. You'll hear me say and preach, this Bible is right. And what I'm hoping to do in you is to stir up in you remembrances of what God did with you, how God dealt with you, and how God showed you that what God was doing in your life and the thoughts you had were in fact real. Amen. Amen? Here is this prophecy of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is putting into the minds of David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, these other prophets, and they're prophesying of Jesus. David even prophesying of the fact that they were going to pierce Jesus' hands and feet on the cross. That was Psalm 22. Prophesying the very words that he spoke. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then sure enough, 1,000 years later, everything that David said about Christ happened. It became real. So Jesus is the reality of what the Holy Ghost teaches us. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. You're looking at the English version of a Greek word, Iesu, which is a sort of a transliteration, or I guess the Greek way of saying Yahshua. And the word Yahshua means Jehovah saves. And here, and I just took you down a little trail of etymology. You don't need that. You have it right there in your Bible telling you what the name Jesus means. He shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. There it is. You have the evidence in verse 18 where it says, before they came together. Now you have the prophecy, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Look at that word Emmanuel. The two letters at the end, E-L, that is the Hebrew for God. Okay? El or Elohim. Elohim, the I-M at the end of a Hebrew word, means that it's plural. The Jews were saying Elohim, not understanding that God was plural. Not three gods. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that there is one God, but he is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just kind of help you out with something. The moment you try, well, I won't say that. Certain people will take this idea of God is the Father, he is the Son, he is the Holy Ghost, and in an attempt to make it sound logical, they destroy the doctrine. Okay? It's like me, my wife being asking me to fix something. What are you laughing about? More than likely, I'm going to break it. Cindy looked at Cubby just then. Okay? Look at her. She's giggling. Am I right? Am I right? I mean, there's some things we can do well. Fixing things is not one of them. Okay? But anyway, when they try to fix the doctrine of the Trinity or the Godhead, usually they'll ruin it. Usually they'll try to make God as three gods. The Bible says he's not. Now, do I understand that? Not quite. Do I believe it? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. So anyway, don't let somebody try to make it logical to you, to make it make sense before you believe it. Believe it first. As time rolls on, God will clear your head. Anyway, virgin shall conceive. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Three places in this passage where it's verifying to you that Joseph did not consummate the marriage to Mary, and yet she gave birth to a son that was conceived in her by the Holy Ghost. Now, the phrase Holy Ghost, and I came upon this several years ago, and it just thrilled me to death. In fact, I learned something new last night that I did not know. Okay? Does anybody know offhand the phrase Holy Ghost in your King James? Does anybody know, just kind of guess how many times it's in the Old Testament? Does anybody know? 90 total. Zero. The phrase Holy Ghost is not found at all in the Old Testament. That, I went. I thought, surely I'm wrong on this. But I'm not. I mean, I double-checked it. Now, he is referenced as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of grace, or the Spirit of this, or the Spirit of that, in the Old Testament. But the word ghost is not used. Now, there are those who criticize the King James because of the use of the word ghost. And they say, our God is not a ghost. Okay? And some of them actually do that. Okay? Learn English. Learn English. Before you try to be a master at Greek and Hebrew, go learn English. Etymology. Find out where we got this word ghost. Okay? The phrase, I'm going to use a phrase, aghast. A-G-H-A-S-T. You've heard of that phrase, right? Okay? What does it mean? Does anybody know? And I'm giving you an example here. If you're, let's say you're sitting in a chair reading, mind your own business, and somebody comes up to you, sneaks up on you, and just kind of scares you a little bit. Okay? What do you do as far as what do your lungs do when someone scares you? Isn't that something? Instinctively, when we get frightened, first thing we do is draw air in. Okay? The word aghast is related to the word ghost, and they both mean breath, air, spirit. It's what they see how simple that is? Okay? The word holy denotes total purity, without error, without blemish, without any defilement or any corruption of any kind. That's the word holy. When God puts a spirit in you, it is not going to be a lascivious spirit. It's not going to be a dirty, nasty spirit. It's not going to be a spirit that will deceive you. It is His Holy Spirit. And when God says something is holy, it's holy. The Bible called Jesus that holy child, Jesus, meaning that He was without defilement. He was without blemish. He was without spot. He did not sin. Now, here's what's interesting. 90 times, turn to Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I don't have it on the screen, so you'll have to look at it in your Bible. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is the ninth book of the New Testament, and that's for a reason. The Holy Ghost, that phrase mentioned 90 times, all of them in the New Testament. The number 9, this is what's interesting to me. The number 9 represents bearing fruit. Okay? Things that bear fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, if you look at verse 22, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, let's count them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. How many? 9. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, God puts in you 9 things in there. 90 times. How old was Sarah when she gave birth to a child of promise? 90. You know who she was? She's us. This is the old man. Okay? I've been calling him the old man for years. It's respect phrase for me. The old man, and yet inside of me, there is a new man. That's who Sarah represents. She is the old body that bears in her the new man, a child of promise. Isn't that sweet? 90 years old. How long did Sarah carry that child in her womb? 9 months. And they called Jesus the fruit of Mary's womb. Okay? And He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's sweet. Amen? So, how is the Holy Ghost received? Let me move through this because, man, I always do this. I've got way more notes than we have time. How is the Holy Ghost received? Do you pay money to get the Holy Ghost? Simon, the magician, wanted to buy the rights from the apostles to lay hands on people and give them the Holy Ghost. He was going to pay them a large sum of money. What was that? That was an investment. Right? Because then what was he going to do? Charge everybody for it. And what's being done now by these clowns on Trinity Broadcasting Network? They're selling. They tell you this is vital for you. This teaching, you've got to have this. You won't make it unless you have this 3-DVD set. God gave it by revelation to me. You've got to have it. I will not give it to you. I will sell it to you for $79.99 plus $20 shipping and handling, which is that's a joke. I'm telling you, it's a joke. Okay? How was the Holy Ghost received? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. Look at it. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's free. Amen. You don't pay for it. You don't owe anybody. You don't give money to the Catholic Church so they can say a mass for you, so you can be temporarily forgiven of most of your sins. That's fraud. What is the condition of a person who wants to receive the Holy Ghost? Repentance. God does not live in a dirty house. He does not dwell in a house that is laden with sin and defiled with sin. Remember, this is the Holy Ghost. This would be like you putting on your nicest dress that you have and going out and sitting in a pig pen. Okay? That's not how it works. The Holy Ghost dwells in a house that has been cleaned by God in the blood of Christ by way of repentance of sins. Amen. I just found out this morning there is a church, and another one of these churches, Jefferson County, one of these big hotshot coffee shop type churches with the praise and worship music and the light shows and fog machines, and boy, everybody's having a good time. That is full of sodomite couples. And they don't advertise that. And I'll tell you, if you ask me later, I'll tell you where it is. But I'm looking at this and I'm just going, Lord, I can't believe this. The Holy Ghost does not dwell in a place like that. You've got sin in your life. I've got sin in my life. We've all done it. You repent. Amen. You are sorry for what you've done. You don't wallow in it and expect God to live in you. Amen. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Second condition, Acts 4:31, prayer. Prayer. Repentance, number one, re-prayer. You pray. You ask God. You get alone with God. You get in a closet somewhere. You get out in the woods somewhere. You drive your car out in the middle of nowhere and just sit there and talk to God. I did that yesterday out at the cemetery where my granddaughter is. Just me and God and her talking. Get alone with God. You pray. Amen. Acts 8:18. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, the charismatic health and prosperity crowd, they tell you that they've got the power of the Holy Ghost in their hand. They make a big show. They have everybody line up, and they just start hitting people on the head. They fall backward, pass out, wallow around a little bit. Some of them will pretend that they're speaking in some kind of unknown tongue. And they say, I'm going to impart the Holy Ghost to you by laying on of hands. Okay? Number one, they are not apostles. Amen. They're not. Apostles were men called Peter, James, John, Paul. These were the foundation of the church. They were named in the Bible. There is no apostolic succession. That's a fraud. That's a way of setting up men having power over you. Okay? The apostles laid the foundation. The apostles would lay on hands. Now, there is an equivalent to that. And I'll explain it to you. Your hand has 27 bones in it. God put it that way. Your New Testament has 27 books in it.
Amen.
Okay? You want the Holy Ghost? New Covenant. New Testament. It's right here. Now, in fact, I'll show it to you. Acts 11:15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. What was the condition here in Acts 11:15 for the Holy Ghost showing up and coming on these people? What happened? The Word of God. As I began to speak. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians 3. I want you to see this. Galatians 3, and then I'm going to look in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Peter received a vision about a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius also received word from God that he was going to be sent, someone that's going to teach to him. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. This is a Gentile man. Peter was the first one to introduce the gospel to the Gentiles. Not Paul. Not Paul. Peter was. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift. There it is again. It's a gift. It's free. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have to be in, Philip, do you have to be in church for the Holy Ghost to come on you? No. You can be sitting out in your car, driving to work, meditating on the Word of God, and all of a sudden, the doodad's just crawling up in your neck. Tears running down your eyes. You're trying to drive and wipe tears out of your eyes. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was showing you something. Can happen anywhere. But the condition set here was Peter spoke the Word of God. They heard the Word of God and they believed the Word of God. Amen? Galatians chapter 3. Look at here. In Galatians, Paul is dealing with the issue of another gospel. Because after Paul left, certain men came in and were trying to teach everybody that they're not saved if they don't keep and practice the law. So Paul, he's not happy about it. And he says, in no uncertain terms, whoever is preaching this other gospel, they're cursed. And you, when you are cursed, guess where you're not going when you die? So Paul then, they're telling everybody, oh, you've got to keep the law. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to have Passover. You've got to keep these feasts and you got to do this. You got don't eat pork and don't do this and say this the right way. And Paul said, this only what I learned of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Who wants to testify here? What was your condition? How was your life on the day that the Holy Ghost came on you and convicted you as a sinner and led you to ask Jesus into your heart? What was the condition of your life? Who wants to share that with us? Go ahead.
Sasha and I have been going to several different churches.
I'm going to be like Phil Donahue here.
Sasha and I had been going to several different churches, and I won't get into all of it. But just simply put, she came home and I had a Bible. It was a Bible that somebody gave me and I'd been studying it. And this is exactly the truth. This is exactly how it happened. And she came home and I took this Bible. It was a New Living Translation. I remember somebody gave it to me. And I threw it against the wall. And I said, if this is religion, this is exactly how, I'm not making this up, she'll tell you right here. I said, if this is religion, I want nothing to do with it. because everything in my life, and I saw it with my own eyes, it all turned into what I was doing, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I threw that Bible against the wall, and Sasha, just being the good woman that she is, she said, "No, Ryan, we need to pray." And we got down, and my life was shipwrecked.
Yeah.
Everything in my life, it wasn't working because I was trying to do it all on my own.
Who in here has been shipwrecked? You were not keeping the law of God when the Holy Spirit came in, cleaned out your house, drove all the nasties away, put a new man in you. See, you're Mary. Your soul is Mary. Put a new man in you. And that new man, according to 1 John, does not sin. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? This is, to me, the biggest issue in a lot of, I would say, conservative churches, is that once people come into the fellowship, they start laying on these burdens of how they have to do everything according to the church rules, or you're not saved. And I'm telling you, when you are saved by the Spirit of God, you are kept by the Spirit of God, you are cleansed by the Spirit of God, you are led by the Spirit of God, and it is not the condition of the outer man that satisfies God, so He'll give you the Spirit. So He says again, I'm almost done here, verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? My whole ministry approach is, I will give you the Word of God. I will give you Bible verses. I will give you Scripture. And then I will let the Word of God do in you what the Word of God does. It does not need my assistance or my help. Does not need that. Now, I'll water it, but it is up to God to bring forth the fruit and manifest that fruit in your life. Can I hear somebody say amen? All right, that was the beginning of this lesson. Okay? And I don't even have time for that, but just kind of give you an idea of where it goes. What the Holy Ghost conceives in us, perfect words. Perfect words. The words that God gives you are far better than the ones you come up with on your own. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the connection that exists between the Spirit of God and the Word of God, Jesus Christ. They don't work against each other. One is working with the other. One is the same as the other. In Jesus dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. The Father will glorify the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. Lord, thank you that when we read our Bibles, you minister to us the faith to believe that Bible. You minister to us the revelation of understanding that Bible. You minister to us, Lord, the witness and the testimony to share the Word of God. Father, it is all in all. It is complete. It is everything for our life, our living, and our road to salvation, road to eternal life. Father, bless your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift freely of the Holy Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Free gift to everybody. Actually, we do. We got bags of goodies over there for everybody.
The rest of that story is, then God sent you with the Word of God.
The same night?
Yep.
Wow.
And all I said was, I want to know the truth.
Amen.